Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Did you just try to hack off a piece of my afro?
Stop being so aggressive with our future compatriots. Brother Nesso, please.
No, I don't think she's going to wake up for a while. I do check her pulse a little bit to make sure Haley didn't accidentally kill her.
We're not serial killers. We're getting the job done.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Dark Star Adventure Cast. We are continuing our journey at Scrap Jack's truck stop out on the far reaches of the sector as the crew of the Scapegoat is starting to make their way towards the hidden Prometheon base to exact their revenge for Dr. Voss and, as we're now finding out, for Felix as well. Where we last left off, Scrap Jack's had been taken over by a group of void cultists, and they were setting up some weird science device in the main lobby. The group was split. Thorn, under watch out in the lobby by these void cultists, and the rest of the crew hiding in the medical bay with an extremely cranky doctor. So now that I've refreshed your memory, let's get back into it. So, back in the lounge, Thorn, yes. You're currently talking to Brother Nesso Tharn. Tharn sounds a lot like Thorn, so I think I'm just going to call him Brother Nesso.
That's fair. I was thinking the same thing.
And as you're going back and forth with Brother Nesso, and you're trying to, like, keep his attention, like you had said before, another brother pokes his bald head in. He wears his mottled gray and black tunic turtleneck combo, and he says, Brother Nesso. And Brother Nesso turns around and says, Ah, Brother Vox, how can I help you? Brother Nesso, I have one more for you. And he pushes into the room Yana 7, the admin of the truck stop, the one that you had a brief romantic charge with earlier in the session.
It wasn't exactly romantic. It was more carnal.
It was an animalistic, like, urge.
Yeah.
She comes into the room, stumbles in more like it as he kind of pushes her in. And you can see that she has a bloodied nose and her left sleeve is ripped off of her shoulder. She's obviously been beaten up, but you notice that Vox also is quite bruised up on his neck. It looks like someone was strangling him not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
She stumbles into the room, turns around, and spits on Brother Vox's face. He just smiles, not even wiping away the spit, and he says, Brother Nesso, may I borrow you for a moment? Yes, of course, Brother Vox. And I feel like they should hold hands, so the two of them hold hands and they leave the room.
They skip out of the room.
Yana looks at the three cowering other survivors in the room. They don't say anything. They're other truck stop patrons, not employees. And then she sees you, Thorn.
Yeah.
She walks over and she sits down on the floor next to you.
So now we're just... both those guys left. There's nobody guarding us anymore?
There are plenty of cultists out in the main lobby, so it's not like you can just stroll out.
Okay, so this would... If I... Like, this is a good time to call my friends, is what you're saying, if I wanted to.
Yeah. You couldn't really use your walkie-talkie before, but sky's the limit now.
Yeah. So once she sits down, I kind of just give a concerned nod, seeing, you know, her physical state. But I don't have time to chat because I don't know how long those guys are going to be gone. So I quickly get on the comms.
Before you say anything, you had turned your walkie-talkie off because they were trying to chat with you. So you turn your walkie-talkie on, and you're immediately assaulted by... You assume it's Robert Ross holding down the comms button while the three of them argue with, like, a doctor and an AI.
Doc, I told you, we're trying to figure out what to do here. You just need to sit down and be quiet.
Doc,
we're
going
to
tie you
up again. Oh, my God. I swear.
I'm untethered.
Haley.
What does untethered
Felix.
Mean? Untethered.
Team, I don't know.
Give me my
means.
Alcohol back. Hey.
Guys, shut up. Listen to me. This is Captain Thorn. Stop talking. Listen, where are you all?
We're locked down in the lounge. We got a minute alone, but we need to come up with a plan right now. Where are you?
Med Bay.
Perfect.
Thorn, I'm glad you're okay.
For now.
Who is that?
Be quiet, Doc.
Who's that?
That's some annoying local doctor. I don't even think she has a medical license.
I have a medical license. I went to college.
I don't care.
Thorn, so where are you?
We're in the lounge. There's five of us here, including me.
So Thorin, we just took out, well, Robert and Haley just took out two cultists in here. So we're trying to figure out what our next move is. We've got disguises and opportunity to go somewhere, but we're not quite sure where to go. My thought is, we've got access to a limited station AI. It can't access security systems. We need to find a way to get into the security systems in this place. Have you heard anything or know anything about how we get into, like, security cameras or other, like, surveillance systems so we can keep an eye on where everybody is?
So when Felix asks me that, I guess I kind of, like, glance over at Yana because she's, like, the administrator of this place, right?
Yeah. Is your walkie-talkie loud enough for her to hear, or are you keeping it really, really
it's
low?
It's really, really low, so I would have to reiterate, but she's just sitting right there, right?
Yeah, she's kind of just staring off into space. Every so often, she wipes the blood from her nose as more flows out.
Okay, so I'm just going to, like, you know, tap her on the shoulder. Yana, listen, my friends have taken out some of the cultists. We have a plan. We might be able to take this place back, but we need access to the security systems. Do you know how they could get access to the security systems?
Yeah, my office, security office, utility room. Those are the only three places you can get a security feed.
I don't think they can get into your office. The cultists are right there. Where's this utility room or the security room?
The utility room's in the southeast corner of the cafeteria.
I turn back to my walkie-talkie and whisper back to Felix and company. There's a utility room in the southeast corner of the station. Maybe you could sneak through the cafeteria and get there?
That's a long way to go, Thorn. And I got a robot leg that doesn't...
Felix, I don't want to hear this right now. They're going to tether us to the... I don't even know what they're going to do. I've been trying to get them to explain it to me for the past 10 minutes, and they just keep using the same words.
Have they hurt anybody yet? What's going on out there? What do they even want?
People are bloodied and bleeding and beaten out here. They are hurting people.
All right, so let's say we get to the utility, like, to this utility room with the security feeds. How are you going to get to us? We got to get back together, Thorn. We need you.
Listen, these guys are really chummy. I'll just... I don't know. We'll figure something out.
It's not very encouraging, but I trust you.
Figure something out?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is our opportunity. We got to figure something out now. We need to get back together or we're cooked.
I mean, trust me, I don't want to be here, so I'd rather be where you all are. Behind Haley, preferably.
I think we got to trust Thorne's skills of negotiation and improvisation to convince somebody to help him out. But Thorn, we pulled a trick earlier, pulled some people in, knocked him out. Maybe that could work again.
I'm saying, I think we need to take this onesie-twosie. I do not think we have an ability to just fight off what? Would we mark 20, 15, maybe cultists?
There's too many. Yeah, there's too many.
Yeah, we're far outnumbered here.
What are we going to do with her? And to Robert and Haley, I'd wave my thumb at the doctor.
Untie me. Give me my booze. I'll be fine. I'll lock the door.
Ma'am?
Mama want her booze.
Is there any way, Felix, that we can deadbolt the door while still maintaining communication with Buddy?
Well, I've got Buddy hooked into the comm, so he'll be able to, when I boot him back up, because I turned him off because he was being annoying, you know, we'll be able to talk to him, but I don't think he's going to be much more use, honestly. He's a pretty limited AI. What we could do, I mean, the door locks from the inside, or, and I kind of point to a drawer full of what appear to be sedatives.
Listen, I got to apologize to you, Falix. I know you wanted to buy a moon rock. I'm not being very nice to you. It's because I'm high, okay? I'm high. Take away my license. Ah, okay? But here's the thing. I know a lot that could help you. And me. I don't want to be here. I don't want to die. I can help you.
How can you help us?
I don't fucking know, kid. You tell me. What do you need?
Nice.
I don't know, guys. I think she's a liability. I think if they come in here, she's going to tell them where we went.
Ma'am. If Felix, if I understand correctly, we're going to hook Buddy up to the comms, and he might be a bit morose, but if the doc stays in here, she can talk to us through Buddy.
I can be quiet as a mouse. Guess what? I lock that door and pretend like I'm not here all the time.
more obviously.
Yeah, I believe that.
People are knocking. I'm bleeding. I have a tummy ache. The doctor is out.
And it does give me a, like, she's not going to want to mess with the cultist guy, but at the same time, she might just, like, forget and stumble her ass out there. I don't love it, y'all.
All right, we wasted enough time with this. I think we just...
Wait, no. I have an idea. I won't stumble out if I have snacks. That's the only reason I would leave. I'm already high. That's already happened, okay? Make your peace with it. I was high before all this started. And due to the nature of moon rocks, I am getting higher every minute.
Yeah, but so Felix is very done with this. So while she's doing this, he goes over and looks for.
I'm going to look
for a sedative, and Haley knocks her out.
Okay, yeah, Felix turns around with a syringe, and Haley just knocks her on the back of the head.
Yeah, she just you hit her off button, and she's tied up, so she slumps down over her desk. She just hits her forehead into the desk, tied to her chair.
Haley,
does anyone have a snack that we can leave on the counter?
Of course, I take out a pocket full of meatloaf and leave it on her.
Meatloaf in your pockets.
No, I don't think she's gonna wake up for a while. I do check her pulse a little bit to make sure Haley didn't accidentally kill her.
I'm a professional.
Maybe Haley, if you wouldn't, what do you think about just stuffing some of these bodies in like the medical drawers?
There's not enough space, Robert, for bodies.
I might be able to fold them up that tight, but...
Yeah, I think we just leave them, and...
At least put them under the sink or something.
These are big boys, Robert. This is a small meds bay on a small space station. I think we need to take their clothes, though.
I definitely like taking their clothes, because I don't know if you just heard this, but I'm master of disguise.
Yeah, Robert is a master of disguise.
There are two of them, and three of us, though. So, well, I think we can either... try to sneak through the cafeteria unnoticed, or two of us dress as the cultists and pretend that we're taking the other one somewhere else.
Let me help you out with this. Haley's too big for both sets of clothes.
Sweet. Okay.
And Felix is too small for both sets of clothes.
Okay.
Robert is just right.
All right. So
am I still on this phone call?
And Thorne, yes, you're listening to all of this, because Robert never lets go of the walkie-talkie button.
Well, Thorne is literally sitting there as we're yelling, like sitting there going, am I still on this call?
My head is just in my hands.
Yeah, Thorne, you're waiting for your turn to talk, but Robert has not let up off of the button for like 5 minutes.
Okay, so Robert, I mean, you can put this on and then we can sneak through. And if we get caught, I guess you could say that you were just escorting us.
Well, I think we have to go as quick and quiet as we can, but...
Yeah, Thorne's running out of time.
If that's our plan B, let's do it. Hopefully it won't come to it, though.
All right.
If anybody catches you, just tell them that these people you captured are showing you where other captives are.
Where do you want to meet us, just for final confirmation?
Go to the utility room in the southeast corner of the station. We'll be there.
Perfect.
Roger. We gotta go dark on comms now. We don't want any extra noise coming through.
Y'all ready? Are we gonna do this?
I guess. I mean, this is the least sneaky group.
Yeah.
So, Robert, you are dressed up in cultist gear.
Yep. Head to toe, I take the least bloodied cultist robe and get that on. And then we make, like, really crappy, like, they look like handcuffs, but they're basically made out of, like, toilet paper so that we can... run and try to sneak, and then potentially bust out instantly if we need to. What do you guys think about that plan?
I mean, I haven't seen anybody else wearing handcuffs.
But what about toilet paper? Have you seen anyone wearing toilet paper?
As I mean, right? Covered in grease.
So as Robert suggests this, I will say, Robert, it's going to be hard enough for me to sneak as it is. I'm going to need my hands free to balance, so I'm not going to put these on. But thank you for the craftsmanship.
I spent, like, serious, way more time than I needed to on these then.
Fine. I know. We've been waiting for you to go. I think we should just go.
Let's just get her done.
Okay, so are you trying to blend, or are you trying to sneak?
Sneak, right?
Yeah. I'm thinking sneak, because I honestly trust that more than our subterfuge capabilities.
Yeah, that's plan B.
I don't want to get into a situation where, like, we have to, like, talk our way out of something.
I think that's a perfect plan B. We don't have our face. We go in sneak formation. Sorry, we sneak, but go in. We can just pop up and pretend like we're, you know, fall back on the other plan as a plan B.
Like if somebody notices us, we go back. We're just going over here.
Okay. So having heard how you want to sneak, it sounds like you're trying to not attract attention, but you can't really, like, you're not trying to, like, shuffle from shadow to shadow. You're trying to not attract attention. And if you do, you're trying to, like, make it seem like you belong and you're doing what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Haley and I will be staying kind of, like, in front of Robert because he's, like, the authority figure.
I need all three of you to roll sneak charisma.
Don't make me do that.
Oh, boy.
Isn't Thorne the charismatic one?
Yeah.
While they're doing that roll, Thorn, you're in the lounge.
Yeah.
And your arm, your shoulder, is kind of like touching Yana Seven's shoulder.
Okay.
And I roll a 4.
I rolled a 5.
I don't know. I'm just telling you that your character finds that arousing, okay?
Oh, you're telling me what arouses my character? I don't know about this.
Hey, you know, you don't get a choice. You're born the way you're born, and shoulder rubbing is what gets you there.
Well, it is what it is. Right?
Just don't rub his lobes.
He's a lobe guy.
Still a Ferengi joke.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I got an 8. I crushed that roll. Like, Felix freshly oiled his leg. He's as sneaky as he's ever been.
Yeah. Okay, we got a 5, a 4, and an 8. So the three of you make your way out of the med bay, and when you walk out of the med bay, you look over, like, Robert, you look over into the main lobby, because you're dressed up like a cultist, you feel like you're able to do that, and you see that there's this rip in space in the middle of the lobby. There's a odd black and purple antenna with lots of spikes and lots of, like, little satellite dishes attached to it, and it's been rooted to the ground. This rip is appearing between two forked prongs that are at the top of the antenna, and around it, arranged in like a 3-meter radius around it, are several captives. You count 8 cultists in that room, and one is working the controls on this odd antenna. Within the rip, you see something move. You're not sure exactly what it is. You're not sure if it's alive or simply an artifact of the undulations of this portal, but it fills your stomach with a queasiness, a strange fear that you haven't felt in decades.
And after rolling a 4 on my sneak, I look over and squeal. Sweet baby Jesus, that's a lot of tentacles. Oh, God. Keep walking. Keep walking, Robert. Guys, we got to get moving.
All the cultists look over at you just as you move behind the wall that separates the main lobby and the cafeteria.
Guys, we got to get out of here. We got 8 on the other side, at least 8 hostiles, and then so many fucking tentacles. So many tentacles.
It's Wyatt. We're almost there. God.
Thorn, in the lounge, you heard sweet baby Jesus, and you heard Robert yell that.
My head is already in my hands, so I don't know if there's anything more I can do. But does it seem like anybody in the main lobby is going over there?
You peek around the corner, and the first thing you see is your 3 friends in the southeast corner ducking into a southern door.
Okay, great.
As that door shuts behind them, a cultist goes around the south side of the dividing wall between the main lobby and the cafeteria and notices that that door shut. They walk over to that door.
Okay, just one lone cultist goes to that door?
Yeah, Brother Vox.
I don't feel like I need to do anything about that.
So, after walking through the southern door, Haley, Robert, and Felix, you find yourself in a long hallway. It runs west-east, and you're at the far eastern end. There's a door to your south, labeled Freight Storage. There's a door to your east, labeled Utility Room. And there are several other doors to the west, but you cannot read the labels on the doors because you're several meters away.
Go east.
Yeah, but I do really want to make sure that we can check on Dan the Man Grand. Maybe he's still over in the security room. They might have just knocked him out.
Yeah, Robert, that's not really what we're doing right now. Right now we got to get in this room that we're right next to so we can get to the cameras, and then maybe the cameras can show us where this Don is.
I mean, let's do it then. Can you get in? Is it open?
The utility room and freight storage that are right next to you both have keypads on them.
Yeah, I can get in. Just give me a minute. So I'm gonna take out my data slab and hook into the keypad to try to open the door to the utility room.
Great roll. So no sooner does your ribbon cable touch the pad that it shivers and the door opens. That's how good you are.
Yeah, baby.
Shivers?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Ribbon cable?
He touched its shoulder.
Oh, I get it now. Now I get it. You put it in context that I can understand, yeah.
Yeah, by ribbon cable, I mean shoulder. And you're like, oh, okay, say no more.
Oh, yeah.
The door opens into the utility room, and here you see it's a lot of, like, cabling, a few terminals, and a locked cage in the southeast corner that's labeled comms array. This cage has a bunch of high-tech equipment in it, and there is a, like, plunger gasket that goes through the ceiling with a big rotating gyroscope underneath it. Felix, who has seen things like this before, you know that you're underneath the comms array, and if they were going to do maintenance on it, they would lower that plunger and the whole comms array would come down into the station for them to do maintenance. There's like a built-in airlock in that system. But that's not what you need. What you need is one of these terminals here in the utility room.
All right, I move in and I start looking for the right terminal.
I just got a little too interested in explaining cool comms array mini airlock technology. This is such a deep world, guys.
I know.
Has anyone ever wondered how they do maintenance on comms arrays?
At this specific station.
Yeah, it's pretty specific to the station, so don't feel like you're going to be able to...
I honestly don't have a lot of faith in most of Scrapjack, given the quality of their doctor, so I...
Well, I would say, too, I mean, I think an interesting thing is, as technology gets more advanced, they probably find ways to avoid EVAs where possible, so they would absolutely have something like that or come inside.
So, like you said, you move up to a terminal, and there is a security lock on it.
Okay, so I will move up. I moved up to the terminal, and there's the security lock, so I'm going to scoff and... begin bypassing the security lock.
Okay, same roll.
Look at this man.
That's a 14.
What the heck?
That is crazy.
What a cheater. Okay,
that's the highest I can roll. That's two sixes with my bonuses.
That's the highest anyone can roll.
Mm-hmm.
So you do a little tippy tap on the keyboard, and you do a little bit of like, oh, you're like, ah, this is like super, like, I've seen this type of security a million times. My description of you hacking is taking longer than it took your character to hack this thing. That's how well you did it. So while you're doing that, I just want to get a little bit of a gut check on where everyone is. So obviously Thorne's in the lounge. Haley and Robert, are you both in the utility room?
I am in the utility room.
Oh, yeah. Totally agree. We sneak on right behind. We see doors opening. Felix is doing his magic. Little tippity tap, and we are just right behind.
Okay, so you guys are both in the utility room, and I need the two of you. We're going to do a notice wisdom.
8.
And I rolled an 8, yep.
Nice.
You guys both got an 8. You both think you hear something from the hallway. It sounds like a door shutting.
After hearing this, I'm going to just move up to my normal spot of next to the doorway in case someone comes in.
And I flank right behind her. And see if I can catch any shadow, basically using her as my shadow.
Okay. And Felix, you're tippy-tapping, but you're almost done.
Yeah, I'm focused.
The door is shut to the utility room. Would you guys leave it open?
I left it open. I didn't even think about it, honestly.
That's a Felix problem.
Guys, I came in first.
I know. It's a bad on my part. I think I'm a little just overwhelmed, reeling from, you know, Robert screaming about tentacles. I'm apparently something called untethered, like...
It's been a day.
Yeah, it's been a day, and the only victory I've had is getting to take a shower.
You took a shower, and your prize for that is Robert will not stop farting out meatloaf farts. He will not stop.
Oh, no.
And I didn't even get to eat.
I know. It just reeks of meatloaf farts. And just meatloaf, because it's still in his pockets, I assume.
Yeah, right? He's still got chunks of it in there.
So you have to understand that it's not going to be hard to find you. The door is open. One side of the hallway versus the other smells reeks of meatloaf farts, which is very abnormal. So you are not surprised at all in the least to hear from the hallway, hello, is anybody there? Nobody answers, huh? You guys are too good. I think you guys are going to fall for that.
Normally Haley would, but she's been having a day.
And you hear that it's a female voice. My name is Mother Krez. Well, we're also awfully happy to be here on your station visiting you lovely people, and we're just trying to make sure that everyone here is safe and can come and join us in the main lobby. I know you're there. I can smell you. Because of the farts.
Oh, right.
And the meatloaf. Yeah.
I can smell you eating meatloaf in there.
I squeeze Haley's shoulder and then take a big old bite of meatloaf.
Pull it out of your pocket.
Just covered in lint.
Robert, you're the only one dressed in the cult robes.
I wait as long as possible to get her as close to the door as possible.
Okay, you can see her shadow creeping into the room from the light in the hallway.
And then step out. I'm sorry. Hello. What did you say your name was? Sister what now?
You see an older woman. I don't want to say what her age is in case... I don't want to say older woman and then say an age and then people that are listening are like...
Don't just say older woman. Just say Mother Krez.
You see an older woman, ancient really, 40 years old.
I just thought it was Hannah Waddingham. when she was the Septon or whatever. And
that's where you should picture.
And yeah,
you see in Game of Thrones. Yeah, exactly. She's the Bell Lady. That's what you should picture is Bell Lady from Game of Thrones. Older, younger, take it however you want. And she's in her mottled gray and black robes. Her head is not shorn. Several of the cultists you've seen are bald, but she is not. But she still does have the distinctive tattoos that are on her face and her neck. The light is behind her, casting her in shadow and making you feel extremely exposed, Robert, because the light's fully hitting on you. She says, "Not sister, mother. And who are you that is dressed in the robes of our people?"
"My, I'm so sorry, mother. I think I have found one who is untethered. Please, please, can you help me? Can you verify for me?"
She looks puzzled and she says, "But I know everyone in our group that came upon this station." And she puts a hand into her robes and she says, "Please tell me, who are you?" And she smiles very toothily.
Mm.
Can I punch her?
Only if you're trying to punch through a wall. She's on the other side of the wall.
So yes.
Oh, God. Okay. I cannot. That's too disruptive. Fuck.
You can step in front of Robert and hiya.
Yeah. I'm going to do that. Yeah. No, I'm going to do that. I will absolutely give you the time.
Hold on. Wait. One at a time, you excited children.
Sorry.
Who wants to talk first?
Haley, go.
Yeah, I'm going. I am most certainly stepping in front of Robert and taking care of this problem.
Okay.
And punching her.
Out.
Well, actually, the motion that I want to do is I want to grab her by the front of her robes and pull her into the room.
Oh, my God. You have like a whole MO now.
A Tallahassee handshake.
Yeah,
you're like, you're becoming a serial abductor.
You abduct
people before you slaughter them.
Yeah, I can't leave her body out there. This is like corporate like warfare 101 if you're in tight spaces.
What is it about role-playing that turns you into such a murderer, Stephanie?
I don't know. I just need to be in control of the situation, and if I can't keep track of the bodies, like, what else? You know, that's just stuff waiting behind me to go bad.
That's smart.
This is Serial Killer 101. You've got to keep track of the bodies.
They're only people.
That is just smart.
Okay, so we're doing serial killer accounting now. So
yeah, Omnitech is going to put me through the assassin program 1 year, like just a quarter, just one credit, one class. There's a few things I'll remember.
You took one credit of Omnitech assassination, and all they taught you was pull people into a room before you kill them
and keep count of the bodies. Yeah.
Okay, so Haley, with two Ys, could you please roll your attack? And this is going to be for pulling them. I'm sorry. Yeah, roll your attack. Yeah, we'll see if you can hit her. Let's see if you can even hit this elderly lady. Let's see if it's even possible.
Oh, God. Wait. Yeah, that's fine. Right? A 13.
A 13 gets her. So you grab onto her. Roll your strength now. It's going to be an opposed strength for you to pull this elderly, frail bell woman.
This feels like a misdirect.
Okay, you beat by 7, so you beat her.
Sweet.
She is a little stronger than you thought she would be. And you yank her into the utility closet, and Robert slams the door. Or shuts it quietly. Up to you, Robert.
Oh, yeah. I don't deal with doors. That's a Felix problem.
How did doors become a Felix problem? I don't understand this.
You know what? I will shut the door behind this calamity. Felix, what is our status update?
Just be quiet and let me work. I'm almost in.
Okay, so while you're doing that, you're completely hacked in now, Felix.
Okay.
As you've actually already completed it, so as you said that, you just wanted like a moment to yourself.
Yeah, I was like, this is just, I hear all the commotion, I know something's happening, and I just don't want to engage with it.
You watch an elderly woman get thrown to your feet, and you kind of just look down, then go back to
work. Business as usual.
Jesus.
So you're flipping through the different cameras. There is a camera in every room of this place,
but
it doesn't cover every inch of this place. Some rooms have multiple cameras. You do get multiple viewpoints, like in the main lobby, in the cafeteria. But you find out that there's a mechanics bay. There's crew and staff storage. There's the freight storage. There's food storage that's right off of the kitchen. All those types of places have one camera and blind spots. But flipping through them real quickly, you get a bead on every cultist that's in the place. And you count a total of 15. There are 5 in the main lobby. There's 1 in the shower with a captive, and he is currently torturing the captive. There are 2 unconscious in the med bay. There's 1 in the kitchen having a snack, looks like a side salad. There's 1 in security watching the front door. There's 1 in the fuel control room, trying to work the controls, probably trying to refuel their ship, but looking very frustrated. And there's two in the crew and staff storage area.
Are you the kind of person or unspeakable nightmare horror who likes actual play podcasts, but occasionally wants a break from all the high fantasy heroics? If so, you should check out Negative Modifier, an actual play podcast that specializes in darker, more mature games. You can find us on YouTube, Twitch, or more or less anywhere else podcasts can be found.
Meanwhile, back in the lounge, Thorn, you're sitting there with Yana.
Yeah.
And Yana says to you, "So, what are your friends doing? Are we getting out of this place?"
"Well, it's not going to be easy. There's a lot more of these cultists than there are of us. So right now, we got to think of a way to get to where my friends are. They're in the utility room. I don't think sneaking's really an option. So I was hoping we could convince one of the more pliable cultists to escort us. Not exactly sure how that's going to play out, but only one way to find out."
At that moment, Brother Nesso walks back in. "Well, hello, future Brother Thorn. Good to see you again. I wanted to come back and continue our discussion."
"Yes, Brother Nesso, yes. I'm so glad to see you again."
He walks over to you and Yana, and he just kind of puts a hand on her face and just, like, pushes her away and, like, pushes her down to the ground.
"Wow, what a weirdo."
And, like, as he's looking at you and smiling, he doesn't seem to, like, register that he's doing anything wrong at all. "Why don't you come sit over here so I can focus on just you?"
"Okay, sure. Where is he? Is he gesturing for me to sit somewhere?"
"Yeah, just like the opposite wall."
"Yeah, okay. I try to get him to stop doing that whole thing. So I move over to the wall."
He stops doing that. And it's sort of like he's moving a curtain out of the way or just like shuffling a piece of furniture. There's no like disdain in the movement. He just lets her go and walks over to you.
"Okay. So listen, brother. Listen, I know you got like a big plans here, but I know I heard that there might be other people still in the station. You know, potential people for your untethering, unhinging process."
"That would be excellent."
"Yeah, well, some of the other people were talking. I guess there's some folks hiding. I don't know exactly where, but maybe we go look for them."
"Oh, we have patrols out searching every nook and cranny. Thank you for your concern."
"All the nooks? Every cranny?"
"Every nook and cranny we can find."
"That you can find? I hope you don't miss anybody."
From behind Brother Nesso, Yana says, "Hey, fuckface, I know where there are some." Brother Nesso turns to her. "I see." And he walks over and slaps her across the face.
"I don't like this guy."
"Not friendly."
"Not Yana 7.
Politeness is of the most importance."
"That was not put. Sorry, I'm not in the other room."
"It wasn't, though. You're right."
No, we're watching. Aren't we watching this?"
"Yeah, you're watching this on security cams."
"Oh, yeah, true. No, I don't support no. I thought we were trying to avoid a shootout, but..."
"Do the security cams have audio?"
"Yes."
"Nice."
So, Brother Nesso says, "If you feel like you can continue now in a more polite tone, I'm happy to hear." "Yes, of course," she says through gritted teeth. "I saw on the security cameras that there were potential cult group members." She shrinks away from his upraised hand for a moment. "Group members in the utility room. I can show you where it is." He grabs her by the hair and kind of like makes her get to her feet. And she says, "But I need him." And she points at Thorn. "He's one of our administrators. He has the code to open the door."
"Yes, I'd be happy. As long as you stop being so aggressive with our future compatriots. Brother Nesso, please."
Oh. He looks at the tangle of hair in his clenched fist, and she winces in pain as he, like, jerks her head around. "This is not a future compatriot. You most likely are, and that's why you are afforded the utmost respect. You will be untethered. She, obviously, will be unhallowed. She is but a husk. She is a tool."
Haley is watching all this shit. She's not a boxing champion, but she's certainly warming up.
He drags her out of the room with a hand on your shoulder, Thorn.
"Yeah."
And he looks over at there's a very slight of build cultist with a bald head, very pale, very dark eyes, with an extremely busy tattoo covering his bald head, creeping down to around his eyes and creating like a vortex type effect of all these different colors of blacks and purples and reds and blues. And he looks over and he says, "Brother Halick, I heard that there may be willing devotees nearby. I'm taking this one, and he jerks Yana's head to the side, and a potential future brother with me. I'm requesting the assistance of Brother Vox as well. Brother Halic looks at him and says, "Of course, Brother Nesso, as is your right. Please, Brother Vox." Vox leaps to his feet off of the ground, where you, Thorn, now see he was crouched amongst the captives and seemed to have been playing some sort of game with one of them. And you can't really see from the angle where you were, but it involved drawing something on the ground. Mm. The survivor, the captive, looks relieved that Vox is leaving him alone. Vox rushes over and, like, grabs a knotful of your hair, Thorn. And Nesso says, "No, brother, I believe that he will be untethered." Vox forces you to look at him, and he goes nose to nose with you. And he says, "Ah, I don't see it."
I wink.
"Now I see it." He rubs your shoulder.
Oh, my.
No. So, yeah, you do a little wink, and he sneers at you. And he says, "If you say so, Nesso." And he just puts a hand on your shoulder. And Nesso lets go of your shoulder. And the four of you march off to the southeastern area of the cafeteria, through the door into the hallway. Now, back in the utility room, you guys see this all happening. The door from the utility room to the hallway is now closed. So you have Mother Krez here on the floor, but she's conscious. So you've pulled her in, and you're seeing this scene unfold before you in the lounge and the main lobby. What do you want to do with Mother Krez during that time?
I look over at Haley. Haley, after watching that, do you have any questions for our dear mother here?
Honestly, not really. It was a little upsetting. I'm kind of stuck on what I just saw.
Mm.
All right, they're on their way, and we can't afford her to give us away.
She pulls the gun out of her tunic that she was grasping. Hold on. It's not whoever talks fastest. We're going to do an initiative.
Yep. God damn it.
Okay, so you've all rolled your initiative, and it looks like Mother Krez won the initiative.
Which sucks.
That's not good for us.
She pulls out a small laser pistol and shoots up from the floor at Haley, who is the one that is directly over her.
It's going to make some noise.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it is a laser pistol, so it will not make much noise.
So it'll make a cooler noise.
Yeah. Does 13 hit you?
Nope.
She leaves a scorch mark on your armor that ricochets off and hits into the wall.
Oh, mother.
She just flops onto the floor and drops the pistol and says, "I am ready to meet the void then." Robert, or do you guys want to end combat? Because now it's three of you against her, so you guys have the... Yeah. So we'll step out of combat. The initiative is just to see if she even got an action. Robert, Haley, Felix, what do you want to do with her now that she's dropped her gun? She's just a defenseless old lady.
I'm leaving it to Haley.
Put her in a full Nelson, and I look at Haley again and go, "Do you have any questions for our dear mother before she departs us?"
Ooh.
So you stood her up and you put her in a full Nelson?
Yep.
She's like 100 years old, so she's like, "Owie, my joints."
I think you just keep making her older. Every time.
No, she's a young 115 years old.
She's literally the crypt keeper.
To be quite honest, Haley's a little bit stumped on what she might want to ask this woman. You know, she's seen the stuff over the cameras that Felix has been flipping through. We know the two guys are coming, so honestly, I just want this woman to stay quiet, and I want to be prepared for these guys to come through the door.
Snap her neck, let's get ready for it. Do you have anything about untethered?
It'll be extra easy because of her osteoporosis.
I'm kind of ignoring that right now, to be honest.
She's just an old woman.
So Haley says, no questions, Robert. And then Robert interprets that as, "I'm going to snap her neck."
So Robert, do you snap her neck?
Oh, absolutely. I'd snap her like a piss dispenser.
Oh, my.
To be fair, I have set an example for...
So, like I said before, she's a little stronger than you might think. So her neck is actually corded with muscle. So
oh, damn.
Underneath that robe, you know, she's doing 100 push-ups
that's
a day. I'm not going to have you roll, but you kind of like go to snap her neck and you're like, "What the hell? Like, what is going on here?" It's like trying to snap a horse's neck. And then you like, "Ugh," and she slumps to the ground dead.
Took a little bit more effort than I expected, Robert.
Yeah, no kidding.
You guys are serial killers.
We're not serial killers. We're getting the job done.
You've serial killed multiple people in this one truck stop.
Listen, these people invaded and, I mean, they're not even really people. They're cultists.
True. You're doing a diehard. That's
what's happening. This is all self-defense. Yeah.
It is.
We just snapped super old Grandma Hans Gruber's neck. We're good here.
Thorn, you, Yana, and the two brothers, Voss and Nesso, are now in a long hallway on the east side of it, and directly in front of you is a door that says utility room.
Okay, great. Well, all this while that they've been walking us down here, I'm just really hoping that the crew is watching and is waiting and is ready. So Thorn is just fully assuming that they're just right there, ready to go. So once I see the door labeled utility room, I just say, ah, yes, this is the room here. I'll just open it up for you then. But you better be ready, because who knows what they could be doing in there. So you two stand by the door, and I'll get to the side. And when I give the signal, the door will open, right? Okay? And I'm hoping that they're listening to me.
Yeah, they can hear you. So there's a keypad on the door.
Yeah, I don't know how to open it, though, so I'm hoping they can just open it from the inside. That's my plan.
So Yana did say that you're the one with the code.
Right, so I'm going to pretend to type something, and I'm going to go, okay, open. And then I hope they just open it.
Access denied.
Okay, that's just what it says. It's to fool outsiders, so the door should be opening any moment.
I push the override button on the terminal to override the lock on that door for him.
It turns green and the door unlocks, but does not open itself. It's not a door that opens itself.
Right. I'm going to open it, I assume, by pushing the button, or is it like a pull door?
Nesso says, you seem quite unfamiliar with how your doors and security system work for one of the administrators of this station.
It's all a ruse. There's always somebody watching, brother.
Smart. You push the door open? Who's opening this door? I need to know the mechanics of this.
Yeah, I also just need to know, like, how the door opens. Do I push a button and it opens, or do they have to physically open it, or like, what kind of door are we talking about?
It's a physical door.
Like, it has okay. A door handle?
Yeah, you've opened and closed it.
Well, is it like a... But is it like a door? So we opened and closed it without it being
hold
a door
on.
Handle versus it guys, being a sliding you, pocket door being a problem.
Hold on, wait. You guys didn't want to hear about the Plunger Comms Array mini airlock system on how they do maintenance. But now you want to know about the intricate mechanics. Okay, so this is how the door works.
If I had enough time to shove Mother Krez into that freaking comms array mini airlock, I would have. Then it would have mattered. I don't, because these guys walk real fast.
That would have been pretty sick.
Yeah, but they walk really fast.
It's a door with a handle that you swing open and closed. It opens into the hallway, and it's locked with a keypad that's on the right side of the door, and the handle is also on the right side of the door.
So I'm hoping that they're watching and listening to me. I just assume someone in there is going to open the door. And if that doesn't happen, it's going to be another awkward conversation between me and Nesso.
Okay, so you yell that out. It goes, and then you yell out that it's open now, and then it turns green, and then...
Yep. Okay. So I'm gonna jump out and say
I'm fully expecting a Tallahassee handshake. By the way, I hope that you guys aren't thinking that this is anything other than a Tallahassee handshake.
Oh, I use that to get real close to him. I use my robes to say, "Good evening, brother. It's so nice to see you." Tallahassee handshake. Pull him into the room.
Nesso says, "Oh, I haven't met you before." Ooh, ah, and he gets pulled in. So go ahead and roll your strength. Oh, I can't believe this might be the end of Nesso.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
It's only the end of Nesso if... Oh.
And I roll a 12.
Yeah, so you beat by 1 because you have a 13 strength, right?
I do have a 13 strength.
He beat by way more. So you grab him and you try to pull him in, but this tall, gangly, pale brother Nesso, barely moves. And then he just looks... How tall is your character? I think he might look down at you.
He's 6'5", 6'4". His actual Bob Ross hat, which is... I want to say 6'3".
Wow, he was a tall man.
He was
so
a big guy.
He looks down at you very slightly, and he just grins in his you know, with too many teeth. And he says, "Oh, I haven't met you before." And then he yanks on. Oh, and then we're going to start combat because everyone's aware of everyone, and I'm pretty sure we're about to have a combat.
Very nice to meet you, brother.
Does sound like that.
Oh, boy.
I'm sure if the Tallahassee handshake was the way to go.
You just assume, right?
Look, we have a skill.
We have a very particular set of skills. Tallahassee handshake.
It's pulling people into room.
It's been working.
Killing them.
Okay, so all the initiatives are in. Haley, you are first. You are currently standing.
I'm going to punch him.
At the door of the utility room. Well, actually, no. You're standing next to Robert Ross, who is blocking the door of the utility room.
Yep.
In a brotherly handshake with Brother Nesso. So you actually can't even, like, you can't reach the punch or anything because Big Dumb Robert's in the way.
Big Dumb Robert's holding the guy I want to punch, like, still. Like, I would honestly argue that this is, you know, Nesso is now at a severe disadvantage for the throw I am about to send his way.
I mean, could you imagine Haley coming over the top of somebody getting a Tallahassee handshake?
You're on one side of the door and this guy is on the other side of the door, so Haley can't hit this guy because you're in the way. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
So if you could have pulled this guy in, then that would be a different story. So Haley, it's your turn, but you can't reach this guy.
So can't I move back and shoot over Robert's shoulder?
Yeah, you can shoot for sure.
With my laser pistol?
Yes. Yeah, you can shoot.
Cool. Just... we're doing that.
If you miss, though, you might hit Robert.
Done.
As if you have a say.
There is a move action you can take called hold an action, which is where you delay taking the rest of your actions until later in the round, activating them as an instant action. So, like, you could say, I'm waiting until somebody comes into the room or wait until I can get through the door, but you can't move as well. So basically you have to pick your place, be stationary and say, like, when somebody comes into the room, I'm going to punch them. And then when that thing occurs, your action triggers.
Oh my gosh.
Does it move your initiative at all?
No, it's like you get to do...
It's like a ready action.
Yeah, you get to do a thing when it's not your turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I'm going to do that. Thank you so much. I am going to hold myself the moment this guy comes into the room. I'm going to punch him in his face.
Nice. Okay, so love when you guys work together.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you. I will remember that.
This first guy is Brother Nesso. He releases your hand. Like, you lost the strength check, so he throws your arm away like a limp noodle because there's no grapple. He pulls his sword out, which you now see is a 3-foot-long bastard sword with a chainsaw blade wrapping around the inner steel blade.
You guys will see this and just say, hell yeah.
Yep.
And he flicks a switch on it as a free action, activating the chainsaw blade. And he says, well, brother. And you feel that he's putting air quotes around that. Well, brother, prepare to meet the void. And he slashes down on you.
Does he enter the room for that?
No, because Robert and he are just right in front of the door. Does 15 hit you?
Not even close, buddy. AC 17.
What?
Dang.
Fuck, I'm jealous.
Dang, man.
What are you wearing?
What are you wearing? I'm wearing all.
I got my shoulders exposed, so.
It's your erogenous zone. You always have it exposed.
Obviously.
So he takes out his broadsword and flicks on the chainsaw blade, and he swipes down onto Robert Ross, who raises an armored gauntlet and lets the saw blade chew into it. And from under your arm, under your forearm, you lock eyes with Brother Nesso.
Brother, did you just try to hack off a piece of my afro?
He grits his teeth and presses down harder against your gauntlet.
You will join the void! I will make you a happy little accident.
You're next.
I'm going to fall to a knee and roll away and attempt, if I'm able, to have him fall into the room and let Haley do her magic.
So, Robert, I need you to roll a dex exert, and we're going to do a contested roll with Brother Nesso.
Perfect. I rolled an 11.
Ah, he got a 7.
So I'd like to fall backwards while maintaining a certain defense as he's trying to eat into my armor to have him kind of fall on top of me into the room.
Like he's going to stumble into the room after you.
Yep.
Okay. So you fall to the side and roll backwards with your arm out of the way and his full body weight bearing down on it. He stumbles into the room, exposing the back of his skull to Haley's waiting ready action. Go ahead and pop it off, Haley. By that, I mean his head, I'm assuming.
Let's do it. Was a 15 hit?
Does a 15 hit?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it does. Boop, 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 boop. Sorry, Haley is roaring so loud.
Whoa, hold on, wait. So people are hearing your roar right now.
Oh, no, just Brother Halek. I mean, Vox.
Well, I mean, everyone probably hears the chainsaw. Okay.
It's like one of those electric chainsaws. It's not that loud.
Yeah, it's not gas powered. This is the future. Come on.
This is the future. We're very elite chainsaws.
Haley roars very quietly.
Roars quietly, like a small lion.
Roar. And you do 5 points of damage to the back of Brother Nesso's skull. Not enough to kill him, but enough to... So he stumbles into the room, and as he's off balance, you plow your fist into the back of his skull, and he just immediately face plants into the ground. The cement floor cracks as his forehead hits the ground. Okay, one more kill tallied for the serial killer, Haley.
That's how it's done.
I don't know if you could take complete credit for that one.
I can't. I really can't. That was a great roll, Robert. Thank you.
It was a genius plan.
Thank you for making that happen. Thanks for the team for pointing out the, reminding me of the hold action.
Mm-hmm.
This was a group effort.
Thorn, your turn.
Yeah, so Thorn is not a man who is comfortable in a fight, nor is he armed in any way. But I am standing behind Brother... What's this guy's name?
Vox.
So... I could just try to punch him in the back of the head, I guess. Like, it would not be effective, but it would be something. So here's what I'm thinking. I am going to grab Yana by the arm and, like, move a little bit down the hall and just take a total defense action. And just let them handle it.
You start to pull Yana down the hallway and she jerks her arm away from you and walks herself.
Okay.
You're just like, okay.
It's fine.
You grab her arm again and you like rub her shoulder against your shoulder.
That might be a bit much, considering the circumstances.
I don't know what you want to do with your combat turn.
Something else.
So you take a total defense. You turtle up.
Yep.
Felix.
I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to kind of spin, like drop behind the chair that I'm in. I'm like spinning around, you know, getting down out of the chair and like kind of spinning it around, ducking behind it, getting into the console as far as I can and just total defensing it up.
Robert, when you stand up, you look and you see that Felix has disappeared. But you do hear soft sobbing behind a chair. So Brother Vox's turn. He says, Brother Nesso! And he raises his shotgun and he shoots at Robert.
How close is he to Robert right now?
10 feet, 15 feet.
Okay, sorry. What's...
Oh, it's going to be loud.
Is that too close?
Love it.
It's going to be very loud, yeah.
Yep. I mean, we're already at a good funnel, though.
Just keep coming in.
Oh, yeah.
One at a time. What's going on in here? Boom. Hey, guys, what's up? Boom. Seven misses you, but it does reverberate throughout the small hallway, especially for Thorn and Yana. Your ears are ringing. Haley.
She goes up to Brother Vox, who is trying to murder her friends, who is part of this group that is, like, traumatizing these people, being mean to Yana, who I didn't know before I saw her on camera, but now I do. And, yeah, she's gonna punch him.
Uh-oh. That's a miss.
Well, at least she's still terrifying.
But you did hit his shock, actually.
Yeah, we got three shock damage.
Yeah. So you punch him in the chest plate, and you crumple in his street armor, which is, like, he has, like, this thick tunic, and it's, like, cobbled together pieces of, like, leather and steel plating and stuff like that. And he just goes, oof, and he kind of doubles over as you take away what is most likely half of his hit points in one hit after missing. Robert, your turn. Haley is currently in front of you in the hallway, blocking your melee access to Brother Vox. Brother Vox just got punched in the gut, taking the wind out of him, but it seems like he's probably about to raise the alarm. He looks like he's ready to run.
I mean, it sounds like he already set off some type of firearm that might have raised some alarm. Now, is there currently a laser pistol in the dear departed mother's hands that I might be able to acquire?
It is on the ground next to her dead body.
If there's any, would it be possible, using my gunslinger ability to quick draw, her pistol off of her body and, take a pot shot around Haley at Brother Vox?
Yes. As long as you do it as part of a stylish kip up, because you're also on the ground right now after your roll.
Oh, I was going to grab the gun and just do a full, kip up little kung fu move. But then just basically shoot him in the face.
So I'm not going to ask you to roll for anything except for to hit. So you grab the gun and you twirl your legs above your head and like break dance your way to your feet. And then you shoot over Haley's shoulder at this guy. So if you miss, though, you might hit Haley.
That would be a 28 to hit with 4 damage.
So, Robert, you twist your way to your feet, grabbing the laser pistol on the way up, and you expertly sight and shoot over the shoulder of Haley into the face of Brother Vox. A 28. Let me check the AC of his nose, eyes, mouth, and chin. Yes, it is lower than 28, so you hit his face, completely opening it up and splattering his brains all over Thorn and Yana just a few feet away after dealing massive damage. His body crumples to the ground in front of you, Haley, and you are just covered in blood.
Yeah, sorry about that, y'all. We just need to wrap this up.
Back where I started when I walked into this place, just covered in grime.
Yeah, why'd you even take the shower?
Yeah, right.
I peek out from behind the chair and kind of like stand up. Oh, nice job, guys, but that was pretty loud. I think they might be onto us. So I sit back in the chair the right way, and I look at the screens and page through the cameras to see if there's any motion coming towards us.
There is some activity in the main lobby that seems to have been triggered by the shotgun blast. A bunch of cultists are like looking over in this direction, and one of them kind of starts to walk over, and then you hear Brother Halik say, "Do not worry about it. They are doing the Void's work. If there are any who are resistant to our cause, we all know that by the text, they must be put down." And the other cultist nods and goes back to the main lobby.
All right, crew, nice work. We've made it this far, but if we're actually going to pull this thing off, we need to put our heads together and come up with some kind of a plan. So what do you got?
And I hate to say it, but I think that's going to have to be a plan for another time.
You know, when we first got to this station, I was really looking forward to spending some time apart from the crew. But no, here we are, all crammed into a tiny room with three dead bodies and a woman I've never met before who Thorn won't stop making goo-goo eyes at. You know, hopefully he has a good plan to get us all out of this alive. Because at this point, we are lucky to not have the cultists all over us thanks to Robert and Haley raising hell with his last tussle. Wait, tussle? Felix, come on. That's a Robert word. I really need a break from these lunatics.
These gagging cultists are really something else. I'm glad to see the crew coming together when it matters. The people on this station are helpless if we don't deal with this problem. Poor Yana seems like she's still quite shaken after dealing with that Nesso creep. May he rot in the abyss. Now that we're all back together, and we managed to get some weapons, it's time to take back Scrapjacks and put an end to whatever horrible plot these Void Lickers are putting together.
The day started off so simple. Refuel the ship, repair the ship, take a little R&R, eat an obscene amount of meatloaf. Simple, right? It seems like not a damn thing simple with this crew. We attract weird shit like flies to a cow pie. I thought Felix would pick up some drugs, like he usually does. We'd have a chill time. Then boom, cultists. And they're all like, "Robert, tie up this drunk doctor. Robert, Tallahassee handshake half the cult. Robert, snap this old lady's neck." Now, normally, killing a couple of cultists would make for a pretty fun weekend, but there was some creepy stuff happening here. I've stared into the void before. I've done things I can't ever forget. But this is the first time the void stared back. Between you and me, I've been dreaming about it ever since.
Do you like your tabletop RPGs to be grim, gritty, and grounded? If so, then Legend of the Bones is the podcast for you. A hybrid of dark fantasy audio drama and old-school solo D&D. In Legend of the Bones, the dice rule. There'll be no rerolls, no fudging the dice, no metacurrency. The roll of the bones will determine the character's destiny, and no one will be spared their fate. None shall escape the destiny of bone.